The Prayer of St. Francis de Sales. Be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you from out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imagination. Back in 2011, I was introduced to this prayer by a guy named Father John Pigeon, who was my spiritual director when I was at seminary. I had left seminary after being there for 3 years. I had lost all faith in God, and I didn't believe in God anymore. This prayer was about the only thing that kept me clued in to God. I didn't have any intentions of going back to seminary, but I did eventually. Some random things happened, providential things, I guess, happened. Ultimately, I went back to seminary, and here I am with you guys. But this prayer is very powerful. And I remember meeting with Father Pigeon and saying, I'm leaving. I'm sorry. I'm gone. And he said, you take this with you, and you pray it from time to time. And I kind of said, yeah, sure. But I did. I don't know. Well, I know who I was praying to, but at the time I didn't believe it. But whatever trial you're going through, whatever darkness or dark night you're going through, you pray that, baby, and God will speak to you. A couple of quick house cleaning items before we get into the final conference for this evening. If you need lights, if you want lights, these little side thingies there, those things turn on. So if you need to read or something or taking notes, by all means, turn those on if you'd like. They are there for you. Second, I'll make myself available after this for any other confessions. I'm not sure if everyone's had a chance to go to confession. I'm not going to ask you if you have or not, but after this, I'll tear down, or I'll get stuff set up for benediction, and then I'll just head on over there. And then also tomorrow morning at 7:45, we'll have confessions as well if you'd like to avail yourself for that sacrament. And then I'll probably lock up at about 10:30 tonight. 10 o'clock will be benediction. That is totally optional. If you want to go to bed, by all means do so. But we'll have benediction like we did last night at 10 o'clock. And then we'll lock up at about 10:30. And then also, please, I'm a gambler. Don't tell anybody that. I don't gamble a lot, but double down on the silence, triple down on the silence. I know these rooms are very, very, very thin-walled. Believe me, I won't tell you what priest slept next to my room at my August retreat, but I could hear him snoring the whole night. So if you're speaking in your rooms, please be mindful that those things are really thin and you can hear everything. All the rooms in here are very thin. All the walls are very thin, from the library to the cafeteria to the rooms. So please, please, please keep silence for your sake and for others as well. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Then he made the disciples get into the boat and precede him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After doing so, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When it was evening, he was there alone. Meanwhile, the boat, already a few miles offshore, was being tossed about by the waves, for the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, he came toward them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified. It is a ghost, they said, and they cried out in fear. At once Jesus spoke to them, be not afraid, it is I. take courage. Peter said to him in reply, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He said, come. Peter got out of the boat and began to walk on the water toward Jesus, but when he saw how strong the wind was, he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and caught him and said to him, O you of little faith, why did you doubt? After they got into the boat, the wind died down. Those who were in the boat did him homage, saying, Truly you are the Son of God. The Gospel of the Lord. You know, I have developed a little bit of an obsession the last week and a half or so. At least, I guess it's been about three nights. I don't know if you've had an opportunity to see on PBS this Ken Burns documentary on the Vietnam War. Frankly, it's been astounding to me, and I want to watch all 10 episodes, but I've seen bits and pieces of three. And frankly, it piques my interest, and I have a desire to watch that thing, and hopefully I'll find some time soon to do that. It's an interesting piece. It shows the war, of which I'm sure all of you, most of you, experienced, remembering that time. For a guy like me who wasn't alive then, it's mind-boggling, I guess, to say the least. The reason why I kind of have a piqued interest in it is because of my parents. Many of you know the story of how my parents met. Long story short, my dad was a Marine in Vietnam. And he was in the bush. He was on the front loading artillery. My mom is from the Philippines. She is from the island of Cebu. And back in those days, Dad was so lonely. When he would have a day off from the war, he wanted to communicate with people. So he decided to join a Christian pen pal service. Mom, who was probably about 105 pounds soaking wet, back then she was about 95 pounds soaking wet, she always wanted to be a nun. So in order to become a nun, she had to learn English as a second language. So she decided to join a Christian pen pal service. And it just so happens that Mom and Dad were paired up. They found out that they had a lot in common. Long story short, I won't tell the whole story. They got married. Dad fell in love with her. Mom rejected the first advances, but apparently the Holy Spirit started to chime in. They fell in love with each other after about a year and a half, and I think it was in September 1971, Dad said that he was coming to Cebu to ask her to marry him after he got permission from her father. So he did that, boarded a flight from Epley, flew out to the Philippines, and October 10th, 1971, without an engaged encounter in Waverly, without six meetings with a priest, without a focus inventory or prenuptial investigation, they got married in a Catholic church. And Mom moved to the United States in December 1971, and they ended up in Brownville, Nebraska, and that's basically where the Fultons have been ever since, Auburn, Nebraska, Nemaha County. That's where we're from. I share that story tonight because my dad experienced, I'm sure, many horrors in war, just like all those other women and men did in Vietnam and any other war that anyone's ever fought in. But Dad had a will to live, and he had someone that cared for him. And in the anxiety, the depression, the desolation of war, I'm sure that little island girl from the Philippines came on his mind a lot and said, you've got to get through this. And she helped him with her letters of encouragement, with her letters of love, answering his poems, all that kind of stuff. He found a will in the desolation and lived each day to break the desolation. I read from this gospel reading from Matthew. I think this was on Sunday Mass, maybe a couple months ago. I want to look at it in three different lenses. One, from the lens of the friends that don't help, Peter when he's sinking. Two, the friends that do help when Peter is sinking. And then finally, Jesus, who helps and will always help when you call out to him. First off, now this isn't in here, maybe this is speculative theology, but if he's riding in a boat with the other disciples and he starts to sink, why don't we hear about some of these disciples? I would imagine that if these disciples are human, these apostles are human, which they were, some of them had the guts to probably help Peter out in his desolation and in his darkness and in his anxiety. Some probably cowered and said, no, I'm not going to do what I should do. I'm not going to help him. Think about that if you're in that boat with him. You see this idiot get out of a boat and start to walk on the water. And he's doing something great, and maybe he's getting cocky, and then all of a sudden, when he takes his eyes off Jesus and he notices the wind, he starts to sink. How many of you would want to throw the raft at him and say, come back, let me help you? I'm sure some of those guys probably did in that boat. How many of you would rather say, out of heck with him, what an idiot. He's going to be cocky, let him sink. Let him sink. That's probably what I would have done, I guess. This gets back to human interaction, especially in desolation. Perhaps for some of you who have been in desolation, it's hard to think back to a time because you realize that there were friends there who didn't want to help you out. Or you reached out to them and they seemingly were absent to you. You were rejected by them, and that hurt. That wounded you further. And now you're kind of paralyzed and stuck in the mud and the muck of desolation. That happens to each and every one of us. In our fatigue, in our relationships, sometimes people turn a cold shoulder. We're looking for help. We're depressed. We're sad. We call somebody up and they don't have the time of day for us. Or they just flat out ignore us. That wounds us. That wound hardens, it scabs over, and then we're scarred. And what is the salve or what is the ointment that will remove that scar or heal that scar? It's forgiveness. If anyone knows anything about the Unbound movement, you have to forgive one another in order to forgive yourself, to become unbound, unparalyzed, and free to walk again. Neil Lozano, the author of that Unbound book, lived 100 yards from me in seminary. And he came and visited us. And he talked about the need for forgiveness, especially those closest to us who have hurt us and we seemingly can't ever forgive. To forgive is to be divine, brothers and sisters. To forgive is to be divine. Yes, it's hard. And of course, we can't do it alone. That's why we need to reach out to Jesus. Look at the cross. How can human flesh forgive? Yet in his last act, that's what he did. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. His human nature couldn't do that on his own. His divine nature took over. His human nature was dying and disappearing. His divine nature was taking over. And it's the same way with each and every one of us. Who are those people that we need to forgive who have not helped us, who have scarred us? Put away the human nature, look into the baptized Trinity in the soul, and ask for the power to forgive, the power to be released. The power to live in consolation and no longer desolation. To forgive is to be divine. The second lens, human interaction, friendships, relationships. Who are those people that you know that you can go to? Maybe as you get older, that circle of friends is kind of getting smaller. Those people that were close to you are passing away, or they live a long distance away. Don't give up. Look for someone. Look for the church. I mean, the church isn't here to sit here and picket abortion mills every Tuesday or Friday. The church is here with open arms. That's what the church is. The church is the people of God. Yes, we've got the abortion thing, but we've got so much more. We're neighbors. More than that, we're brothers and sisters. If you need help, look for a friend, make a new friend. Look for that person in that boat to throw out that raft so that you might be saved from your drowning. You know, if you think about it, the very first thing you all and myself did when we were born, me, I don't even know how old I am anymore. I'm getting to that age where you wake up and you can't remember how old you are, so you've got to do the math. 36 years. The first thing I did when I came out of my mother's womb was I cried. You cried. Why? Because something was lacking. And you were craving human interaction. And then when your mother grabbed you, brought you to her chest, and looked you in the eye, you stopped crying. That tells us something by God's design. That no man and no woman is his or her own island. That we are meant for human interaction, and we need relationships and we need friendships in order to be fully human. Relationships lead us to human fulfillment. Who are those people who have helped you in the past? Who are those people that you can maybe write a letter to of thanksgiving? Who are those people that you need to call and say, hey, let's get together for some coffee? And then finally, Jesus. What does he say? Oh, you of little faith, be not afraid. Take comfort, it is I. Reading this, you think that Jesus and Peter sank right away. But really, Jesus is telling us that we constantly sink in our desolation, in our fatigue, in our anxiety. Things happen, yes, but Jesus is always there. He will always take care of us, even when we don't call out to him. Think about Lazarus, the raising of Lazarus. Lazarus was dead. He didn't ask Jesus to be healed. He didn't ask Jesus to be picked up. Martha and Mary asked Jesus to pick him up. And he was. And he was saved. That's the beauty of human relationship. That's the beauty of friendship. That's the beauty of Jesus Christ. My prayer, brothers and sisters, as we head to bed tonight, is to never forget those relationships that have been formed, to forgive those relationships that still wound and scar us, and to simply look at Jesus right there, asking you and pleading for you to reach out to him. May he be our anchor, may he be our life raft, and may God bless us all. Be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you from out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imagination. St. Francis de Sales, pray for us.